Welcome to the Saturday afternoon meditation. Are there any inexperienced meditators here? Oh, that's beautiful. Then I don't have to say much, I guess, actually. Yeah. Okay, just give a few instructions. Try to bring the mind in a relaxed state by putting your body into a relaxed state first. Huh? I hope you all sit in a position where you're comfortable. So you can stay with your usual routine if you want to, but if you want to try something new, then just for a few minutes can do an exercise with me. And you need to get your visualization capabilities up to scratch. Would like you to visualize a bubble, a translucent bubble, if you can do that, just in front of you, the height of your eyes, and sort of gives off some reflections, and it's just floating there. Doesn't have to be very precise, just a general image. And now we bring that bubble a little bit more into focus. And bring it exactly in front of us. Maybe just 30 centimeters away from your eyes. And now that, let that bubble lose a little bit of its bubbliness and make it a more reflective surface. like more of a polished surface. The more polished and the more mirror-like it becomes, I want you to see your own face looking back at you in your meditation right now. Doesn't have to be a detailed face. I just thought this image of yourself looking back at you. What sort of feel does it give? What sort of vibe does it send? Maybe it becomes very obvious now that the observer is manipulating the mirror image, the observed. If the guy or the girl looking back at you has a certain attitude, then this is exactly how everything in the meditation will be perceived. So Ajahn Brahm always tries to make that guy looking back at you from the mirror smile. It's not by painting a smiley on that mirror in front of you. It's by exactly the one watching that what is opposite you. Where the attitude change can happen. That is where the smile has to happen. That is where the kindness has to happen. And if that kindness and goodwill is big enough, then it doesn't really matter where the attention moves on to. So after a while, if it's your breath, or if it's a mantra, or if it's just your feelings in the body, whatever you watch, there's a direct correlation between the one who is watching and the way it is perceived. And the job is to have that kindness and gentleness with the watcher. It's not really up to the watcher what comes into the mind. It's only up to the watcher to deal as kindly compassionate, calmly, and equanimously as possible with what comes up. That is all that's possible. It's all that we need to do in the meditation. See if we can put so much guidance into it that there is not even a distinction anymore between what is interesting, what is uninteresting, what is pleasant, what is unpleasant. And it just becomes so full of goodwill that just whatever comes up watches that with the same kind attitude as anything else. And if you lose track of what is going on, please just bring back that mirror image and have a look. Have a look at that face that is watching what is going on there. many things when we associate a self or ourself with the one that is looking at the object, we get into trouble again, sooner or later. That just has to be unpleasant enough. And then that guy that is looking loses his goodwill, and he's sort of, whoa. And you see it, wow, there's no control there. And that guy is looking is not a person, it's just an attitude in time. And if you're lucky enough, clever enough, and you see that it's getting miserable, there's that possibility that another attitude in time comes up and just says, that's okay, cannot change that. You can get restless now, you can get miserable now, my knees are aching now. It's really not up to me. Not my fault. Not my fault, not my fault. And then you add that kindness again, you put a mirror behind that mirror again, and then it doesn't become a guy looking into a mirror, it's basically a mirror looking into a mirror and a guy looking towards the mirror. You can have that endlessly and endlessly going on. There's never in the end one person who decides I'm going to be the kind guy or I'm going to be the grumpy guy who looks at the object. It's always just a skillful means in a particular moment in time, depending on our mood, the tendencies that are coming up in a particular moment. And sometimes it's more difficult, especially with bodily pain. To keep a nice attitude with bodily pain is very, very hard. And then sometimes it just helps to say, actually, I cannot do it. Cannot be kind to that now. And that is kindness in itself again. And just giving up, playing that game. Thinking that we are in control of these processes that are rolling on and on and on and on there. And just take that self out for a while and just, okay, there's nothing I can do. And maybe then a little bit of letting go happens because it's just so kind enough that the controller just gives up and just sees the burden in controlling what is going on. Hopefully that happens from time to time in your meditation that you and just come to that point where it's just don't want to manipulate anymore. And where letting go just happens. It's just this not interested enough in trying to keep it nice, not interested enough to keeping it on the breast, making the breast your object, or make anything your object. It's just this, whatever comes up, fair enough. And that can be a very, very lovely attitude. It takes a big burden from our shoulders. Okay.
Dear Ajahn, please could you recommend if meditation would be helpful for chronic pain? I personally find that very hard to meditate when I'm in pain, I have to admit. Some people say basically, just watch the pain and put kindness into the pain. And I myself have never really managed that. If it's chronic pain, you might be really with your back against the wall and you cannot do anything anyway. So then you probably try as kind as you can or bump your head against the wall or whatever, you know. This control, trying to control what is going on, can become a burden in itself, especially with chronic pain. And maybe you have a few moments where you just let go, where you know that you cannot do anything anymore, or you just stick with your chronic pain. I don't have a clue how to deal with that. Painkillers, as much as you can. Morphine, get rid of it, actually, in every way possible. I find that the most difficult thing in the world to meditate when the body is completely uncomfortable and in pain. So, sorry, cannot be of more help there. I haven't figured out anything that is particularly helpful when you're in real pain. I personally try to take painkillers, but with some pain it just doesn't help. And that's really crappy for you. Sorry. It's just something that is not easy to handle. But if you manage to keep a wholesome attitude in your mind by distracting yourself from the pain, then maybe that is sometimes the best thing you can do. Huh? Instead of trying to sit with the pain in meditation, just put the mind on something different. Put it on something interesting and enjoyable. Get as much away from that pain as you can. That's what I would do. Yeah. Watch a good movie or whatever. Get out of it, especially when the pain is intense. Does getting to be a very good meditator mean I'm destined to be single forever? Well, from a monk's perspective, if your meditation is not good enough, if your benefits in the holy life are not rewarding enough, then you're not going to be single forever. That's usually what gets the monks out of ropes, is the opposite sex, basically, 99% of all cases. So if you're really a very good meditator, it could be well the case that you're single forever, but you're not going to give a damn, I guarantee you, if you're a really good meditator, actually. So don't worry. And if you're not such a good meditator, then it just happens by itself anyway. Yet another friendship is going to be developed, another relationship. What is a skillful way to turn back the wandering mind to the object of meditation? How much force do we have to apply? Well, I personally don't like to use force at all. If I practice myself with that what I taught today, and that is being aware of your attitude in your meditation. And like I said before, especially if the body is not in pain, if you feel more or less comfortable in your body for a while, and your attitude is good enough,
then there might come the point where the thoughts just automatically they start dropping and you become more and more aware of that attitude which is constantly watching what is going on when the helicopter flies over here. If the mind has a nice attitude already, is sort of far less of a disturbance as if you sit there and, oh, I was supposed to meditate, I want to meditate now, and it's so bloody noisy here in town. If I was just in the monastery, actually there it's nice and quiet. Actually, how can I meditate in town as a lay person? Blah, 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 blah. And that is an attitude problem, huh? If you see that happening, is sort of, if that, I won't call that force, I call that the wisdom kicking in that just says, oh, that's not good for anything, this sort of train of thought. It's not going to help me now. It's just disturbing the peace. But just now the helicopter is gone, shows. And again, an attitude problem in time. Just, you can set that again and again and again, and if you feel that that watcher is too grumpy, then tickle it a little bit. Be kind to it. Do something nice, actually. Don't use force. Force always sounds like somebody is trying to gain something. And that is, I don't like the attitude. At least I don't like the word force. So it just is this awareness that checks the attitude in your meditation. And if the attitude is not alright, having that kindness of saying, wow, okay, my attitude is not right now. That's alright. That's just, I did my best. What exactly is the me in the bubble supposed to be watching me meditating? Not the bubble, I just didn't want to go immediately to the mirror. Actually, I wanted to make it something sort of where you don't know quite know where I'm going at the beginning. That's why I made it a bubble. I wanted that you don't put any association into it. And then when it was sitting in front of you, it was supposed to become a mirror. And then it's, whoops, what is the expression on that face that is looking back at me? How would I like that guy that is looking back at me? How would I react to somebody who is looking at me in that way? That was the exercise. To be aware of that attitude which is watching your meditation object or is watching basically whatever is coming into your consciousness at each moment in time. Like I said before, the bubble or the mirror, you can put another mirror and another mirror and another mirror. There is no me in that. There's always only an attitude in time. And that attitude can only always be as good as our tendencies. All our wants and not wants are basically challenged in that moment of time. Like with the question with the bodily pain. If there's strong bodily pain, there is nobody who decides, oh, okay, there's just bodily pain. It's just pain. I don't care. It's basically, it's pain, it hurts. And it's not, there comes that moment when we're going to associate ourselves completely with that pain that is going on in that moment. There is nobody who to step back from that. It just has to be intense enough. And so it's this stepping back can only happen when these tendencies don't pull us too strongly in one direction, when aversion is not too strong, and also when wanting is not too strong. That's when we have that possibility of watching a bit more. That's when we're not constantly torn apart. But then there's none of these bubbles is ourself. Basically, completely in motion, that whole thing, and nobody is in control. Ask yourself, if I was in control, I mean, I'm almost 15 years in ropes now, if I was in control, I guarantee I would be in jhana constantly, actually. If
But bloody well, it's not happening like that. If the monks were in control, nobody would disrobe. But there are monks disrobing constantly. There's maybe 80% of the monks are disrobing, who ordain. Maybe 20% make it to the end of their lifetime. So that is an illusion. It's not because they're stupid, and it's not because they're lazy, and it's not because the circumstances were not right enough. It's just because of conditionings happening there. They all have high aspirations when they start, but life doesn't work out the way we want it. Probably also hardly anybody of you ended up in the job you really dreamt about when you were younger, or ended up with the partner you dreamt about. So it's just shit is happening the whole time. And it's sort of this moment in time where you check your attitude, that is, if you can develop that moment and moment and moment to make that as nice, especially to yourself, as possible. Then you save yourself as much suffering as you can. And then you also want to create as little suffering for other people automatically. But that is also not yourself. That is conditioned. So, yeah. None of the bubbles is the self. That's all the questions here. Any more questions in the room here? Speechless, beautiful. Have a nice day.